Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone. An experience I can unfortunately speak personally to, but I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. My name is Philip Musin, and today I'm joined by Per Schneider.
Hello.
Tom Marks.
Hello.
And Casey DeFreitas.
Hey, guys.
How is everyone doing?
You're good, very man. Proud that you didn't mess up her name this time.
I'm getting really good,
good
with
job.
Names.
Good job.
The names are unlocked.
Very good.
Yeah. It's the week before E3.
Goodness.
How's everyone feeling right now? Let's just check in real quick.
I'm super nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's, you know, we spend a bunch of dough on E3 every year. A lot more dough than we spend on anything else.
Yeah.
We build a booth on the show floor. We have a studio off outside the convention center to live stream, you know, the entire week. And so many things can go wrong. So talk to me in a week again.
Yeah. We've actually already had a couple surprises. Outside of games, you may have noticed Brian is not here today.
Ooh.
And that's because Brian just had a baby, or his wife and him had a baby.
Yes. Not a surprise, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So congratulations to Brian. Make sure you shout out your congratulations
yes.
in the comments to let him know you're happy yeah. for him, like we are, of
just
course.
Just gone gold. Samus Zelda Birdo Altano was just born. So yes. do congratulate him on that baby's birth.
Absolutely. And Casey, you just got back from Japan.
I did. I'm still a little bit jet lagged, so I'm sorry in advance for any weird things I might say, but
no, it's fine.
like relevation.
tell them what were you doing over there?
So I was in Japan to see the Pokemon press release, the really big one. We learned about Let's Go. We learned about the core game coming out in 2019, and we got Pokemon Quest. So a lot of really huge announcements. I got to interview Junichi Masuda, which was amazing. Honestly, dream come true. Yeah, it was really great.
Did you get to play the 2019 game?
I did not get to play anything. They did not show anything about the 2019 game.
Would
they
be able to tell us if you could, if you did play it?
Maybe. That's a good question.
No, she's under a theoretical NDA.
It's a theoretical NDA? Theoretical one,
they did have the Pokeball Plus there, but they wouldn't let me touch it.
You didn't get to throw it?
So I saw it. Well, I saw it on a table in the Q&A room, and I was like, I'm going to touch it. I went to go get it. And they were like, no touch. I was like, I'm sorry, you caught me.
Oh, man.
So yeah, that's they so wouldn't cool. let me pick it up.
I hope they have one of those on E3 on display. That'd
I really, really cool. hope they sure. do. And I hope we get some more information and maybe we can see some gameplay. Because I know when Sun and Moon first happened, they announced Sun and Moon before E3. And then they had a lot more gameplay to show at E3. It wasn't hands-on with the fans, but maybe we can see more of Let's Go.
Yeah,
which I'd like to see.
And you excited? How's your excitement level? You obviously, I mean, they're three different games. Yeah. Seems like a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah, I am so incredibly excited about everything. The way that they did this was incredibly smart because Let's Go is a game that I'm really excited to play, and I'm really glad that they are experimenting with gameplay mechanics that they otherwise haven't before experimented with, and they are able to do this safely because they announced a core game coming out next year. So everyone is getting what they want. Hardcore players are getting their core game. Players who might be intimidated by the normal RPG are getting something else a little bit lighter. And then Pokemon Quest is already released and is out now. But I feel like if that game had been announced without the conjunction of the other two games, people would have been like, yeah, it's like no one asked for this. Why are you giving us this? But now it's just an extra.
It's like the inevitable E3 mobile game trailer where everybody's watching the press conference. You get the CG rendered trailer and it's like coming to Android platforms now.
It's like, I wanted that.
Did you get a chance to play Quest?
Yes. Yeah. I did. I have not played a ton of it, but I played it on my flight home. And I had fun with it. It was
it's okay, right?
Yeah,
it's not too
fine.
Bad. It's clearly like very
ringing
mobile-y.
Endorsement there. It's not too bad.
I know. It's getting a lot of flack because obviously people are calling it a mobile game. Like it's built for mobile. It's very obvious that it is, but it's still pretty.
You guys enjoy it?
It's really cute.
Honest, I'm not enjoying it. I feel like I could start playing the game, walk away, and the game would be just fine without me playing itself.
Yeah,
that's the mobile part.
But it just doesn't require much action on your part. And, I mean,
that's great for a video game?
No, it's like an autoplay thing. You can just set it to autoplay, and of course, it makes the levels a lot harder and more difficult than they would be otherwise if you are actively controlling it. But I think that mechanic was put in so that if you go back to redo levels, you don't have to be active in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And people are just using that mechanic for everything. I don't know.
I'm a big fan of the plushies and toys that will inevitably come out of that art style.
So they already did.
I do dig that approach.
I should have brought this up, but I brought back a Pokemon Quest Pikachu for Miranda. It's on her desk if you guys want to check it out.
I haven't seen it. Is it like a blocky?
Yeah, it's a block.
In the pile of Pikachus that are already there.
I think the best one is the Pokemon Quest Electrode because it is a cube. How does it move? No one knows.
It's kind of tragic when you think about it like
that. Yeah, it's
reminds me of this game. There was a GameCube game called Cubivore. I don't think it came out in the US. It came out in Europe and Japan only with all the creatures were blocks.
Yeah.
And they had to eat each other. And it was tragic game, but with that art style, it somehow worked.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's cute. It's fine. I'm more looking forward to Let's Go and the core Pokemon game in 2019.
Yep. Yeah, thankfully we do have those games coming. Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are coming out November 16th.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, like Pokemon games usually do come out in like November.
Yeah.
fall, winter time. So yeah, definitely look forward to that. But we do have a ton of stuff to talk about in today's episode. We've got some major leaks appearing or showing up ahead of E3, which is kind of tradition at this point, right? So yeah, that's no real surprise to anyone. Paladins has been announced for Nintendo Switch, which is a hero shooter, so I'm really excited to talk about that. I know Tom and I have played a little bit of Paladins, so we'll give you our input on that. And there's also a really cool exclusive from Famitsu talking about a new game from the director of Mother 3, and apparently GameCube, officially licensed GameCube controllers have been spotted in the wild, so I want to delve into that a little bit. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about our impressions with the Mario Tennis Aces demo. And if you're following Nintendo Voice Chat on Twitter, we have a bunch of questions that we're actually going to answer in the latter half of the episode. So stay tuned for that. But let's go ahead and jump straight over into the major E3 leaks that just happened this past week. So these leaks apparently originated from 4chan, and this was supposed to be a it's a document essentially that indicates a big showing of what Nintendo's planning to, I guess, have hands-on or within their Direct at E3. And a bunch of these games were already very speculated on. We kind of have been predicting for a while now. And I think we have an image, of the games. If you could pull that up for us, Andres. There we go. So you can see it right there. Fortnite, that's the one that I guess stands out for everyone. Is listed as a game that is allegedly coming to Nintendo Switch, as well as Dragon Ball FighterZ, which has been talked about for quite a while, and then some other games that we have known for a while that are coming to Switch, like Starlink and Monster Hunter.
Yep.
Yeah, so very, very exciting stuff. So what stands out to you guys here?
I mean, first of all, like when you see this image, this instantly screamed real to me.
Right.
Of course, next year, people are going to rip off this format and like try to convince you that fake leaks are real, but this looks like a proof sheet.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense. This is a display, obviously, for Nintendo's booth. When I saw this, I'm like, yep, that's real. Also, there's no crazy exaggerated game on this. Like,
right. It's all very believable.
Like Metroid Kart Racing or anything. first of all, Tom and I, of course, when we see Overcooked 2... we're probably very happy people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's if that's real, that's a really cool one because it's, I mean, Overcooked is a great game, one of the best party games that has come out in the last couple of years, and I didn't expect there to be a 2. Like, they did a couple DLCs for that, and now the fact that there might be a sequel is just very, like...
Especially so soon, too.
Yeah, it's unexpected, and it's cool. I hope they do something different with it. I hope it's not just, if it exists, is not just, like, more Overcooked, right?
Yeah,
but I'm interested to see what that is because the first one rocked.
One of the greatest two-player games on the four-player games on the Switch.
Yeah,
I'd say relationship destroying.
Yes.
I had so much fun playing, getting capture for your review in that bay. Like all four of us cramped in that small room and just all of us just laughed so much. So I'm also very excited is true.
Yeah, like the other titles on the list, like Dragon Ball FighterZ, that was one that people wanted very early on when it came out. People wanted to see this on Switch. It was one of those games that would lend itself graphically to be on the Switch much more easily than some other fighters. Makes total sense to see it there.
Well, it does. I have actually a question for you guys about FighterZ. Do you think that it's too late for FighterZ to appear on Switch after it released on PS4? Like, has the sort of competitive community like found its place on a console already? Because I've heard that the majority of players do play on PS4. So do you think it's sort of still worth bringing over to Switch? Like, does this legitimize it for the fighting game community?
I think it's not too late, definitely. I think that the more places you can get games like that out on, the better. And I think if it works on Switch, that's great. Competitive communities and I think fighting game communities specifically will always do that, no matter what. No matter what consoles it releases on, they're always going to choose something and kind of have that be the standardized platform for whatever their tournaments are, just so that people can all be on the same footing, be practicing on the same level. So I think that the competitive community would have rallied around the PS4 version of Dragon Ball FighterZ no matter when the Switch version came out.
Right, yeah.
And probably the people that want to play it on Switch still want to play it on Switch. Like, the competitive community is probably wasn't going to start on the Switch version anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the fighting game genre, the lineup is not so deep on the Switch that this game is arriving in a crowded field. I mean, I think it's awesome to see some of the more traditional 2D fighter setups on the Switch, and I think even people who might have the PS4 version would really like to take the game on the go with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
If you're a pro player, you can practice on the plane now. That doesn't mean that they're going to really enjoy the lack of a D-pad on this machine, but Pro Controller fixes that.
It's probably a good fighting game for Switch too, because it's not. You know, there's obviously a ton of nuance and complexity to the controls, but it is a little bit more of like an entry-level fighter for some people. Once again, not knocking Dragon Ball FighterZ. I think it's a great, deep fighting game. But
it's more accessible,
I would say.
To people who aren't as familiar with fighting
It's got,
games,
like, the one-button combos where you can kind of just mash one thing and keep going, and, like, that, I think that'll be appealing to a Switch audience.
So, thing that remains to be seen, can they pull off that look on the machine?
Right.
You know, obviously, I said it's not as demanding as some other games, but it is, they are, what they did with polygonal characters and cell shading, they replicated the look of Dragon Ball so well. And the little kind of cutscene special sequences, remains to be seen if they can pull it off as well on the machine, but I have high hopes.
Yeah. Well, if the document is in fact real, then hopefully this is coming true. But we'll see. I mean, we'll find out soon enough. E3 is not too far away. But before we move away from this subject, I do want to go back to Fortnite. So apparently...
That's a big one.
It's the big one, yeah.
It's also really expected.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
But
most popular video game in the world gets released on one of the most popular systems in the world is like not really a surprise, right?
You can't even call it a rumor anymore because somebody hacked the store feed.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so earlier this week, there was some sort of a minor update to the eShop, which added a couple new features that make sort of just exploration on the eShop and game discovery a little bit more easier for people to deal with. So that sort of inspired a very famous, like, you know, Switch hackers and modders to sort of data mine and see what's really going on there. And throughout that, they were able to find essentially details about an update file indicating, or actually for Fortnite on
the icon
eShop.
Yeah, even the icon.
And then just a couple hours later, they found the icon. And they also found the icon for Paladins as well. So this, to me, looks just like it's the worst kept secret of E3 2018.
It is a major, major game that is captivating players and streamers. You know, it's one of the most played games, as you say, on the market right now. And it's not changing because they're so smart about how they update the game and how they created the mystery around the meteors and all that kind of stuff. And to have this soon on the Switch is really good news. This is not a repeat of the Minecraft situation where everybody said, this is a no-brainer. Why is it not on this machine? You're getting this game early. And it plugs a really big hole. You know, there's no Overwatch. There's no PUBG. There's no Call of Duty on this machine, right? We've got Doom, but like competitive shooters, multiplayer shooters are just not on this machine yet. And this is going to be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm surprised that more third-party publishers haven't been taking that opportunity to bring their big genres like Overwatch and like Fortnite, for instance, because they could essentially have a monopoly. You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So it's good to see that, you know, and this is a perfect segue for our next topic. It's good to see that Hi-Rez Studios has taken note of their opportunity and announced Paladins for Nintendo Switch. So like I said earlier, it's officially happening and it's going to be coming out on June 12th, which is just around the corner.
Yeah, that's super fast. Soon.
Yeah, it's apparently... you know, coming out. So get ready. Now, there are some contingencies. So essentially, it's going to be an early access on June 12th.
Who knew there was a thing on Switch?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with that, on Steam, early access means you're paying money for a game that is not completely baked all the way through. So you're basically saying, here's money, but I understand there will be bugs in it. But this sounds different, right? This is not
this doesn't sound like
the
that.
Same kind of early access.
It's a little different. So basically, this early access, you'll be able to get you'll be able to access the game if you buy the Founders Pack of Paladins, which is going to run you $29.99. And that's going to be available on June 12th. But there will be a free-to-play version available on the eShop later in the summer. So, I don't know. How do you feel about this, Tom? I know you and I were talking about it earlier, and
yeah,
it's just a little...
I think it's dumb. Anybody that didn't, who's just listening, didn't see my major eye roll when you were talking about the release date earlier.
Well, first, you like the idea, though, that this game is coming to Switch.
I love that Paladins is coming to Switch. Anybody who doesn't know Paladins, it's nonstop in the... It's always in the top 20 game, most played games on Steam.
It's a hero shooter.
Yeah. It's very similar to kind of like Overwatch mixed with a MOBA. There was this whole big debate about like, it's just an Overwatch clone. Like, it's not just an Overwatch clone. It is very similar in the way you play it, but it's got a lot of different stuff going on. It's got a lot of weird, cool things that Overwatch doesn't do.
And the Switch, not to cut you off, but the Switch version is going to have crossplay with Xbox One. It's going to run
at... really surprising.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man.
It is so cool. And it's going to run at 60 frames per second, and it's built from the ground up on a custom in-house port of the Unreal 3 engine. So it seems like it's going to be full-on console parity between Xbox, Switch, and probably PS4.
The 60 frames is definitely cool to hear. The reason that the whole... release thing annoys me is because Paladins came out in early access on Steam, and it needed to be in early access on Steam for that. Like, I'm not an early access hater. I think early access can be used really well or really poorly, and that's just the fact of the thing. The thing that bugs me is that I can't imagine that whatever the version of Paladins that is coming to Switch is not done. Right? Like, it's been out of early access on other platforms for so long that bringing it under an early access thing where it's a free-to-play game, it's free-to-play on every other system right now, and you can pay extras to get cosmetics. It feels like a marketing thing to me where they're trying to get people who want it right away to pay $30, and then they'll just make it free when they want to make it free. So, and, like, when it leaves early access, it's not going to get, like, some big update. Just going to become free.
The thing that it comes with, though, it doesn't come just with early access. It comes with all of the characters
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, generally, so another thing about this free-to-play game, I have played Hi-Rez's other game, Smite, and they kind of did a similar thing. You can buy the Founders Pack, which automatically gives you all of the champions that you can play as. Whereas if you're playing as just the free-to-play version, you have to unlock the characters through in-game currency, or you have to buy them separately.
Right.
So this not only gives you early access, but it also gives you access to all of the champions at the start.
Yeah.
And generally, purchasing them in this bundle is cheaper than buying them all separately. And I don't know if they're going to do this in Paladins, but in Smite, if you have just purchased a few characters and then decide you want to buy the bundle with all of them, they refund you your in-game currency that you have spent. So I think the way that they are presenting it as early access is a little weird because really I think it's just a bonus for purchasing the Founders Pack.
Yeah, and the Founders Pack, they on PC now it's completely free to play, and there's, I think it's called like a Heroes Pack, which is similar to what you're talking about. You just get to unlock all the heroes right away, and then there's also like a digital deluxe edition or something, like deluxe edition, something like that, which is $60 and gets you a ton of currency and cosmetics and all that sort of thing. Because that's how this game makes money, is it plays more like Overwatch, but like you said, it's not all the heroes are unlocked. They have a free hero rotation, that sort of thing.
I was thinking that it might have been a decision driven by the... by the friction of paying for something on the Switch. You know, once you put your credit card in and everything, it's easy to buy something. But on the other platforms, you know, you're already paying for an online service. And so your payment, it is literally like, oh, I'm tempted to buy the crystals. I'm going to do it now. And that doesn't exist on this machine yet until the online service goes pay later on, you know. And so maybe they were a little nervous about, you know, that kind of friction and how easy it is to pay them something, because they're not making this game out of the kindness of their own money.
They
want to make their money back. The other thing, like, early access to me, the label is just kind of, it's dangerous. Like, if the kinks aren't ironed out and this game doesn't run completely smoothly, and we'll talk about Mario Tennis in a second, right? Like, people who pay $30 are going to be extra super angry, right?
Yeah,
because they are excited to play this early, and then if it doesn't work, so let's hope that this is not a stress test early access period either.
Well, I guess it could be, like, maybe the game runs fine, but they haven't tried with online servers.
Yeah. We won't know until we try it. One thing I will...
I would test that for free, though.
Yeah, true.
One thing I will really quickly say just about Paladins is there's a lot of misconceptions about Paladins being pay to win because it briefly was, which is kind of the best way to put it. They introduced this thing called, and I just want to mention this because I think some people have heard part of this story and not all of it, and it's really important to know about like where Paladins is now, because they introduced this system called Cards Unbound. And Cards Unbound basically made the game pay to win, and like the fans were furious and like put up this enormous stink, and they didn't change it for a really long time. And then I think it was about 2 or 3 months ago, I can't remember exactly, Hi-Rez said, you know what, we know you hate this system, we're going to completely remove it. And now actually the system is even more fair than it was before they went to this bad system.
But so the story lingers, right? Like once you have some bad news like that out, the story lingers.
It's hard to wash off the pay-to-win scent, even when it's, in this instance, completely gone. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons to like or not like Paladins, but like if you've heard anything about the pay-to-win stuff, just don't even worry about it.
Did you review it for us? Or?
I didn't review it. No, it came out before. Wait. It left Early Access a few months ago. I don't remember who reviewed it, but we reviewed it.
We liked it, yeah.
I think we gave it like an 8.3. It's
somewhere
in the 8s.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's really good.
No, it is really good. If you like Overwatch, chances are you're probably going to like this. So if you've been waiting for Overwatch on Switch, this is definitely the next best thing. It's not an exact clone, as people say, or copy. It definitely has its own merits that I think make it its own game, its own experience. Like, it has a card system, right?
Yeah.
And you can change different loadouts. And the whole card system is something that... like, you create a loadout, and then it'll buff your character in a specific way, and then you can, during matches, buy additional, like, buffs and stuff like that. Similar to how you would buy weapons in Counter-Strike, which is really cool. So that's totally different from Overwatch. I'm personally looking forward to it. I'm not thrilled about the actual, like, requirement of having to buy a Founders Pack first and then it being free-to-play. I think doing it alongside each other would have made more sense. But, you know, it's still a business at the end of the day, and they're looking to make money. So a good thing is I actually enjoy Paladins quite a bit, so you have my recommendation to definitely check it out. But let's go ahead and move on over to this new thing that was just revealed, I guess, by
Killer
Famitsu.
Queen Black?
No. Ooh, yes. I've been waiting to talk about Killer Queen all day.
But I would totally talk about Killer Queen all day.
No, look, Killer Queen is a good
Tom
game.
Had a spark in his eye.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, it's like a 10-player crazy
it's an arcade game. It's
Like,
and when I say arcade game, I mean it's arcade only. It's you have to buy like a $10,000 to $15,000 arcade machine that it's a 5v5 RTS almost resource management, kind of looks like Joust arcade game.
Well,
and whatever Killer Queen Black would be is apparently a Switch version or something, and it could be really cool.
Yeah, we'll check it out when it's revealed. Yeah. For now, just...
Also, Killer Queen is the sleeper reason for why that could be a real list, because if you go to the Killer Queen Twitter page, their profile picture and cover image on their Twitter page is just all black. So and they've not announced it at all.
It's completely real.
So that's a really good sign of like.
Sorry, but you were going to talk about a different game.
Yeah,
we like to hijack Philip's show once in a while.
Okay, so this game is called, I don't even know how to pronounce it correctly. Work X Work.
Yep.
Work times Work.
I'm assuming like Hunter is Hunter with an X in the middle and then
maybe.
Hunter. So maybe it's just Work.
Work. Okay.
Hunter. Hunter. Master X Master. That is. Master technically.
Well, this is a Switch game that's being developed by the director of Mother 3, which is very exciting. And it's releasing, at least in Japan, we don't know for sure about the US, on September 27th for around $45. And it's probably the closest thing that we're going to get to an Earthbound release, at least for now.
Yeah.
So I think we have some images. Can you throw them up on screen so people can get a quick look at what they look like?
So Shigesato Itoi, you know, the creator of the Mother games and Earthbound. He's not making games anymore, but you're actually getting, you're getting a director who worked on the game here, and you're getting the artist. And so if you look at the faces of the characters, and they're kind of like little cardboard cutouts in this game,
cute.
The characters will look very, very much like Earthbound characters.
They do, yeah.
It's so cute. Oh, my God.
But we don't don't know. We don't know much about this game yet. You know, hopefully this comes out over here. I'm hoping it's like a kind of like Golf Story. You know, like you're getting these quirky 2D games that have really original gameplay concepts behind them.
It looks almost in that screenshot. It looks almost like an RPG of some kind, of like a Paper Mario style thing, maybe. But I don't know.
It definitely seems like a traditional RPG.
Yeah.
2D turn-based RPG.
Yeah,
I'm into it. I want it to come to America. That's all I know.
I hope it does. Sure. I really hope it does. But yeah, that was just a quick one for you guys. Let's go ahead and roll on over to these Nintendo licensed GameCube controllers that just kind of showed up in the back of some guy's store. So this is actually from Reddit. It comes from Reddit user Reddit user Mew the Creator. Great name. Mm-hmm. So these controllers are actually manufactured by Power A, and if you're familiar with Power A, they've done a couple Switch controllers before. You can see right there, they look exactly like GameCube controllers with some minor differences like button placement. There's like a share button, there's a home button, so it's clearly
a little longer. The handles are longer, and the you know, the extrusions where the D-pad sit, they look a little bit more like I don't know, like alien facehugger balls or something.
Well, at least it's
also got the second Z button, right? That second shoulder button.
Yeah, it does. And they're clearly wired.
Right.
Yeah. It says wired controller on it. So, So I don't know. I think it's really cool. Obviously, we're seeing this as we lead up closer to E3, where we're going to learn a lot more about Smash. And I know that a lot of people, including myself, and I think everybody here on this panel, like strongly prefers playing with a GameCube controller. Do you play with a GameCube controller?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So
I came in to play yesterday, and they were like, "Oh, we ran a GameCube controllers," and I told them, "I don't want to play unless I have a GameCube controller."
But I want to make sure, like, they look like GameCube controllers, but there's something about that feel of that controller, like the way the shoulder buttons are curved, and everything is just right with that controller for me.
Yeah.
Especially for Smash, right?
I
hope they also feel like them. Don't just look like them.
Muscle memory is like so important for those kind of games. So anything that feels slightly off will affect my performance personally. I don't know about everyone else's, but even the third party controllers back in the GameCube era, I wouldn't want to play. They would look exactly the same, but they didn't feel the same as what Pear was saying.
Right.
So
who's your character? Who's your main?
Pikachu.
Yes.
But you can still use those GameCube adapters that came out for the Wii U with the Switch. So Nintendo is not producing them anymore, unfortunately.
They'll be back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of talk about third-party controllers or, you know, wired controllers. There's obviously one line of wired controllers already for the Switch. But I think the moment Smash Brothers appears, lots of wild controllers will appear too. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see some of them at E3.
Well, if this is like a legitimate thing, and Nintendo's licensing these controllers for third parties to make for Switch, do you guys think that there's a chance that we could possibly get like a WaveBird 2 specifically for Smash? Because I could see like a lot of people latching onto that. You know, like a pro GameCube controller.
Yeah, that would be
pro
cool.
controller like GameCube edition for sure. Right?
Yeah.
Not just in, hopefully not just in color scheme, but also in the feel of it. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
With one more shoulder button.
I mean,
that was so weird. Come on. The Z button was weird.
I like the Z button.
The asymmetrical setup.
Can I be the one that everyone hates on in the comments?
Yeah,
this
always. Always. Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, sure.
Tom.
This is the first Smash Bros. I have ever not cared about a GameCube controller going into.
Really?
I don't
because
care.
You like the Pro Controller?
I think that the Pro Controller is the Switch Pro Controller, very specifically. Yeah. The Switch Pro Controller,
it
not
is
the
a
Wii
good
U Pro Controller, the Wii One. I think the Switch Pro Controller is a phenomenal controller.
Mm-hmm.
I even think that the Joy-Con on the little thing is, like the sleds, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Wii and the Wii U had serious problems with controllers, and the GameCube was their best option by far for that. And I was very, very excited when they announced GameCube controllers for the Wii U Smash. But this one, I don't really feel myself needing to go back to a decade-old controller to play this game.
That's fair.
And I feel like the people that they're making a GameCube controller for, like, It feels like they're making it for like the diehard Smash people and like no one else.
And it's got to be wired, right? And everything, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of diehard Smash people.
Oh, and I'm not disparaging those people. If you want to use a GameCube controller, that's fine. It's a great controller. But
I'm bringing an adapter and a GameCube controller with me to E3. I'm going to ask to use it if they try to hand me any other controller. So I'll tell you guys how that goes.
What if they have? What if you walk into the Smash demo and you just get a single Joy-Con? Would you just walk
out?
Riot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm excited that they're making a GameCube successor or whatever it's going to be, if that's a real thing. But, like, I don't really care. Like, I'm
take it
fine.
Or leave it
I'm fine with the Pro Controller right now.
Yeah, no.
Are you good at Smash Brothers?
I used to be.
What's your main?
I played a lot of Kirby, a lot of Meta Knight, and then for a while I played a lot of Sonic, but that was, like, not a great time in my life.
No, I played against Tom yesterday. He's pretty good.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. He's nice. He's being very modest.
Who do you play as Pear?
Link.
Cool.
That was a snap answer there.
It's just old school.
He knows what he likes.
It's the very first game that was my character, and somehow, like, I always try playing as other characters. I'll do Marth for a while, and then I'm like, nope, gotta go back.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
I've been playing a lot of Shulk lately, so I'm really hoping. I know it's probably
the
easiest
guess. I don't like his pants.
His pants are fine, Pear. They're fine.
Backslash.
Backslash.
Yeah. Probably my third most played character in Smash Bros. Is Random, though. I just love...
Yeah.
I just like mixing it up a lot.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good thing you're not playing at the competitive invitation.
Yeah. You should not... I'm glad I'm not the one that's being sent. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. But a game that we all got a chance to play this past weekend is Mario Tennis Aces, or the tournament demo, more specifically. I just wanted to give a little bit of our impressions here and find out what you guys thought about your experience with it. First and foremost, I just want to get this out of the way. I know that a lot of people have had connection issues with the game, at least in the beginning, closer towards the beginning of when the demo actually kicked off. I did specifically, so I can vouch for that. But I can say, like, when it works, it worked. I think it worked really well. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with this. I did not expect to enjoy the online multiplayer aspect of it as much as I actually am enjoying it, because I'm really all about story mode. I'm a story mode guy, and this game's gonna have a huge adventure mode. But I want to hear what you guys thought about the demo. Like, Pear, what'd you think?
So I couldn't enjoy it because I had the connection issues. I jumped on and like just couldn't get it to run okay
at all.
No, and then I had to leave. I've seen it played, obviously.
Okay,
and I'm really interested. Like the stuff that excites me are the really kind of goofy aspects, like having Chain Chomp in there, or you know, playing on some of the crazier courts. I'm like, I'm all over that.
Yeah,
and then any of the story modes, like in old Mario Golf, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, and this one looks like, because I got a chance to actually preview the game, so I played a little bit of the story mode, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, if you like that type of story.
But were you getting matches? Were you pretty evenly matched, and it was running? It was not stopping in mid-shot for you?
During the tournament demo? In the beginning, it was. Like, I had a lot of problems on Saturday.
Okay.
That's when I got a chance to start playing. But Sunday, everything was really smooth for me.
Okay.
And that's when I actually started to win. Because when it lags, it really lags. It's super
bad.
That's
always really frustrating when an online game does that.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's a nerve-wracking omen for whatever the Nintendo online services is going to be. Like, I'm not saying that necessarily indicates the quality of that, but, like, man, I hope it actually does not indicate the quality of
I don't think
so. There was some chatter, Nintendo stock dropped, and there was some chatter about whether that was caused by, you know, analysts misunderstanding that this Mario test / demo event, that was kind of a preview of how bad the online service is going to be. And it's like, God, play Splatoon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we've been playing Splatoon on this machine.
That's
true. Playing Mario Kart on this machine in the kind of the free online era. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get your knickers in a twist. That's why I'm not down on Mario Tennis either, because of some hiccups in the beginning. I have confidence that if they can run Splatoon with 8 players online with no problems, the 2-player game is going to be just fine too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to play it at all, Tom?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was really fun. I thought there was a surprising amount of instantly jumping to the ball when you're halfway across the court.
With the trick shots?
Yeah, the trick shots. Yeah. That was a little frustrating for me, but didn't destroy my enjoyment of the game. I was really happy to see that it seems like a pretty fun game, after the last few Mario Tennis games that we've gotten have not been so great.
Ultra Smash.
Yeah, and
Ultra Smash was just too limited, right? Right. There wasn't a lot in it. I mean, core gameplay was fine.
It looks like this game, and this is something that kind of went back to not just the demo, but like just what we've seen of it so far in trailers and stuff. It seems like Nintendo is really going all in on this game. Mm-hmm. Like they're not just releasing it as like, here's a Mario Sports game. It seems like a full-fledged thing, yeah. And I'm excited for that, yeah. Especially the story mode. Some of the shots in those trailers, the tournament mode is so cool to me, but the story mode is really, really appealing. Yeah. It is hilarious to me, though, that this tournament mode structure of join a tournament and you go through a bracket and you go all the way through is something that people have been asking of Overwatch and Hearthstone and all of these huge games for so long, and Nintendo's like ahead of the curve for the first time ever in an online thing. It's really cool.
It just makes sense. I mean, it's based on real tennis, right?
Yeah.
And so that's great that they nailed that.
I really like the way it's set up. I think it's totally fun. It's fair. Like you have to sort of work your way up, and the second you lose, you fall right back to the bottom, and you kind of have to keep going in until you get to that gold trophy. I'll be honest, I did not win a tournament. Oh, I got very close. I got to the fourth round before I could actually finish it. But Chain Chomp has like the biggest, most powerful swing, and I would always run into a Chain Chomp towards the end, and it would mess me up. I think it's really, really great. There's a lot to look forward to with Mario Tennis, especially if you're looking for more like online competitive games on Switch, and it's coming out on June 22nd, so it's just after E3.
I'm just excited in how we're inevitably going to hook it up to the big TV next to your desk, Perrin, and we're all going to play. That's always what I really like and appreciate about these Mario Party games. I mean, the last Mario Tennis I played was the 64 version, but I played a ton of it, and it was always when I had friends over, and we would just play that for hours. And that's what I'm looking forward to in this office, is having a Nintendo Party atmosphere.
I know you didn't mean Mario Party when you said Mario Party games, but now I want a Mario Party game on Switch.
You will not escape.
When is that happening, by the way? Is that
happening? The last one that I played on the Wii U, I did not like at all. So,
were they all riding in the car together?
Yeah, they all riding in a car together. And I was like,
That annoyed me so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the car with you.
Yeah. Get out.
There will for sure be Mario Party.
Yeah.
It's like one of those games where they announce it in a direct with, you know, like in the middle of the year or something.
Yeah.
It'll just pop out.
I want them to go back to the GameCube era of Mario Party games, please.
Dude, if they made a Mario Party 2 HD remake or something like that, like one of the classic Mario Parties, that would be fire. People would go crazy for it.
And just add more mini games that use some motion controls. Like, I'd be stoked about that.
But not only mini games. Yeah. I mean, we got a Mario Party 3DS game.
Yes.
Yes.
You know,
why wasn't that on Switch?
Maybe it was what you wish for.
Maybe it was too soon.
It is next week.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, let's jump over into our leading games, some of the games that have been coming out this week for Nintendo Switch. And actually, one of these also came out for 3DS as well. And it's our pick of the week this week. Sushi Striker, The Way of the Sushido, is out on Friday. So if you're watching this on IGN a day early, which you can every Thursday, it's not out yet. It's out tomorrow. But if you're watching this on YouTube, it's out today. Yay. And if you like puzzle games, then this is something you should definitely be paying attention to, because it is out on both Switch and 3DS. So you're not left out of the party
and
if you don't have a Switch.
You can play the demo now.
Right. There's a demo.
And surprisingly hefty demo, too.
Yeah. It's the first couple of chapters or couple of levels in the story mode. So you get the story, you kind of get a feel for what the game will be. You get these really cute sushi sprites that you will be able to collect.
Yeah.
And your first one is, very tropey, very powerful one that the bad guys have been looking for forever.
Yeah. The story in this game is so insane.
So ridiculous.
Yes. I love it. It's great. So melodramatic. I want to like this more. I've only played the demo so far. I'm looking forward to playing the full game. But what I don't like about the Switch version is I kind of feel like you have to play it with a touchscreen.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you think so?
The actual controls do not work well. It puts you at a huge disadvantage.
But you can use the touchscreen for the Switch version as well.
If you're not playing on your TV. Yeah. But otherwise you're stuck with the stick. There's an assist mode you can turn on to make it a little bit easier to select the next plates.
Mm-hmm.
But I found I did not like the stick controls at all.
I
went to touchscreen, and that's where the 3DS version is just has so a huge advantage because you have a stylus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's tiny. You can see past it. And my big fat finger gets in the way of, yeah. Like, I feel like this game was perfectly designed for the 3DS. Yeah. And I don't quite feel that it has made the transition to the Switch yeah. as well. But those are just my first impressions. Yeah. And I need to play it a ton more.
Those are my first impressions as well. And honestly, like, using the finger isn't even ideal, not only because it doesn't work as well as the stylus, because my wrist started hurting doing that, the pointing, trying to like hold the Switch up and using the pointing, whereas the stylus is just so much friendlier.
And it's a small device to hold in one hand. Right?
Yeah, it's just a lot better. Or bigger. Even on that kind of gameplay reminds me of a lot of puzzle games I've played on the phone.
Yeah.
Where you are matching things. So that's the aim of this puzzle game. You're matching same colored plates. So you are dragging your finger across the screen, matching these different colored plates or using the stylus for it. And with such a big screen and such a, it just doesn't work as well as I want it to. But that 3DS version doesn't have that problem. And it's also $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It is not a cheap game. And, and just to be fair to this game, there's a ton of production value in this, right? Oh, yeah. It has like these animated story sequences, you know, a lot of progression and cool ideas. And but $50 for a puzzle game is kind of unusual in today's day.
Yep.
You play it?
I did. I was just going to say, I think we did breeze over the anime cutscenes a little bit, because I agree with all the criticisms you guys have. But man, I was watching this cutscene and just like laughing hysterically.
Love them too.
Like, it was so cute. And it like you said, the production value, it felt like an anime. Like, it felt like you were watching a TV show, not like an in-game cutscene.
The world has run out of fish.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously. Yeah. It's just very light and silly and funny and well-animated and well-voice-acted. I think that there is... You're totally right. I think it's got problems. I think it's probably better on 3DS, but it's also just a really cute and endearing game to me for some reason.
I'm sure it's still going to be a good game that, you know, like, if people play it for the first time, I think there's a lot that they'll find to like.
Totally.
I'm just, you know, as a kind of second outing for me, I was like, oh yeah, like, now I remember how it played on 3DS, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't want to torpedo your pick of the week. like, what you're obviously really enjoying it, right?
Those are all very fair arguments. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Out of all the games that came out this week, this is definitely my pick of the week. But you know, I lean towards a lot of your criticisms as well. Like, I definitely feel like this game plays a lot better on the 3DS, but I'm also really happy to see it available on Switch as well. And hopefully this is just a stepping stone as to how that series can evolve on Switch and, you know, with future titles and stuff, because it's very popular in Japan especially.
It's got a really, I mean, it's really satisfying when you build up your meter and you do a combo, and like, just the action of selecting a lot of plates as one, it like, the way it feels actually really good. It's just a visibility issue. You're looking for plates and your hand is in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I just have giant hands.
I had the same problem. It wasn't ideal for me. Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing about opinions, is that we can like something and criticize it at the same time.
Do they make like a stylus that works with a Switch?
I'm sure.
I feel like there has to be
someone made one and nobody has needed it.
No, what you do is you get like a sausage and you put it in a glove, like a latex glove. Yeah. Wet the tip just a little bit.
Okay.
And that'll work. Sweet.
We'll not play
I'll do that when
sausages.
I get home. All right. This is a perfect time to move forward here. Couple more games. Couple more games to talk about real quick. I don't know if any of you guys have played these games, but I got a chance to play them over the last couple days, which is pretty cool. One of them is called Shape of the World, and it's out now for Switch. It's $15 on the eShop, and this game is so similar to Proteus. Have you guys heard of Proteus? It came out a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Like PC, PlayStation. Essentially, it's kind of like a walking simulator if you took a bunch of LSD or drugs before you started walking outside. Because as you can see, it's sort of procedurally generated. The world is creating itself around you as you explore it, and it's all very dynamic, and everyone's world is going to end up different at the end of it. And so essentially the gameplay is very limited to lots of exploration and then walking through different gateways that then open up new layers of the world and add these different colors and different plant life and creatures and stuff like that. There's virtually no combat or things that will try and attack you, so this is one of those games that you can totally just zone out and relax cracks while you play. Like, there's nothing to...
So you're chasing orbs? So it's like Crackdown without the crack in the down? Or what are you doing?
Exactly. It's like Crackdown without the crack in the down.
Was Proteus a VR game? Because I've played VR games similar to...
Really?
A similar concept. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Proteus was ever in VR, but it would definitely make a great VR game. See, something like this does work very well in VR. But for Switch, it's also nice because it's one of those games that you can play in handheld mode and have like the TV on in the background. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just kind of like lose yourself in. It's visually, I think it's a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah, really, really cool style.
It has like elements of like No Man's Sky in it as well, just visually speaking,
yeah.
Not mechanically. But yeah, if you're into these like sort of more laid back games like exploration walking simulators, this is definitely one to keep your eye on or check out because it's out now. But another game that I was also...
That was Shape of the World?
Shape of the World. Okay. Yeah, Shape of the World for Nintendo Switch. So make sure you check that out. But also another game that is a little bit more, I don't know. I guess adrenaline pumping would be a good way to put it. It's called Grid, and it's out on... it's out now as well. It's also $15, and we have some B-roll for this one as well. You guys have to see this in action. If you're watching the video podcast, look at your phones right now or your computer. This is so weird, this game. It's basically if like an 80s arcade game was made today, and
it's
totally
like Thumper, almost like visually like Thumper a little bit.
Yeah, it totally reminded me of Thumper. It has those same like Thumper vibes to it, but it plays radically different than Thumper did, because you can shoot in this game. It's a little bit of a shooter, but it's not about shooting. You can essentially run through the whole thing without firing a bullet because you're just dodging objects the whole time, which is really cool. But you're building up combos as well, and there's like a score. So it's not an infinite, like endless runner style game. It does have like levels to it. But the way the game is engineered or built is so cool because it never leaves that pathway. When you go from the main menu to the actual game, like the road is constantly moving.
You know what it looks like? It looks like the box art of old like Sinclair Spectrum games, like you know, Mine Forever Voyaging or something. Mm-hmm. It's like it's got like the kind of like the Tron look to it.
Yeah, totally.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally like an 80s arcade game made today. The music is awesome. Controls feel great. It's got HD rumble support as well, so definitely check it out if you're looking for just a random, fun, exciting Thumper-esque game.
That's cool. Yeah, a couple of games slipped out last week. You know, we didn't get to it. Like Fallen Legion, we talked about that a little bit. That also came out already.
Yeah,
right. Like a kind of like a side-scrolling RPG battles game. That really interesting.
It's cool. Like that. We don't have any B-roll of it. Sorry, in advance. But it's got a really unique combat system that feels almost like a rhythm. Like it has a rhythmic element to it. It's an active combat system, but it's also mixed with traditional like turn-based RPG styles as well. Which I know sounds a little weird, but it works well.
It's interesting. I like the look of it too. Like the kind of the 2D animation looked really cool.
Yeah.
And then Ikaruga came out. I hope you're playing that one.
Yeah.
And then Tom recommended Yoko's Island Adventure, which
Island Express.
Yeah. No, Postman. We talked about I'm really enjoying it. There's just too much to play again.
There's a lot. Yeah.
It's crazy.
We've been sort of missing a lot of games, but there are a ton out that you guys should definitely play.
Do you get anxiety attacks when you open the eShop and just see like what was added?
It's like, oh my god,
Jesus,
out of nowhere. Yeah. But yeah, those are our picks for this week. Definitely make sure you check out Sushi Striker if you are looking for a decent puzzle game on Switch. But I am excited about this next segment here. So we're kind of bringing back Question Block the way we used to, where it's not live. I'm sort of just reading your questions here. But a couple hours ago, I was on Twitter and I tweeted out asking for your questions. So these are directly your questions that you guys asked me a couple hours ago. So we're going to kick it off with one of our favorite people here from NVC, an old NVC old-timer, friend of the show. Lily Zaldivar asks,
Zoltan.
do you think Waluigi will be in Smash?
Yes,
of course, she would ask that.
100%.
I think so too.
As a trophy.
Oh no! Don't break our hearts.
I think Lily has started a Wavolution, and if she continues this,
like
the walls will get to Nintendo, and Waluigi may.
But isn't he like one of the few kind of bigger-ish Nintendo characters?
Yeah, that's not in it. Yeah, I mean, Wario was added last time.
Yeah,
I mean, Waluigi deserves a spot.
It's time.
He's so weird too.
But he's so strange.
Wario has his own games,
and Waluigi doesn't.
Yeah. So does that matter to being a Smash Bros. Character?
No, but you got him in tennis and other games.
Well,
that's
really all he's in, right? Is the tennis, like the sports games.
Okay,
and
if they can put
maybe a couple other things.
If they can put the Wii Fit trainer in, that's in Smash. If they can put Game & Watch guy
that is
in
fair.
Smash. Like,
but
they
both
can
of them had their own games.
They did. They did.
I feel like Ice Climbers will be back, and I feel like Waluigi. I just think that's a no-brainer for them.
To be clear, I'm not advocating against Waluigi and Smash.
You're
I'm
just
advocating
saying.
For a Waluigi standalone game.
Okay. Oh,
that, I see.
That's
okay.
what I want here.
Yeah, yeah. That makes you too. One person who wants
it. I want it.
Waluigi had a course in Mario Kart. Waluigi Stadium?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Does that count?
He's got a pretty big fan base out there.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of love out there for Waluigi. okay, so Polar Freeze asks, if the rumor about Dragon Ball FighterZ or FighterZ is true, would you buy it again if you already bought it on another platform? I personally have been waiting for the Switch version, if there is going to be one, so...
I might, like, I actually didn't think about this. I might not, because I mostly want to play it in two-player.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can already do that at home most of the time when I take the machine with me. I play single-player.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a good question. I would have to see what's in it. Like, if Mario is in it or something, then definitely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I can't even imagine how much the Dragon Ball community would lose their mind if Mario was like reanimated in the Dragon Ball style for that game.
That'd be so cool.
With the like the animations.
Yeah. That's what I want Waluigi in.
I think a lot of people, like more so competitive players, I guess, would probably buy it a second time on Switch if they have a
practice.
Switch. Yeah, yeah, just for practice. Even pre-tournaments, just like sitting in the lobby would be a great idea.
But yeah, I'm with Pear. Like it's a game that I'd play with people. On the couch.
Yeah.
So if I already have the capability to do that, like I'm not super interested in playing it on my own.
Mm.
So,
but I'd definitely buy it if you're into.
If
fighters,
it added
it's
a lot
such
of
a great game.
If it added a lot of new and interesting stuff that only came to Nintendo, then I would be much more inclined to get it a second time.
Have you guys seen the Waluigi mod in FighterZ?
No.
Yeah, there's a video of that online. I'll try and link that in the video
crazy
description.
Mods. The Dragon Ball FighterZ PC community has gone nuts modding that game. There's Sonic the Hedgehog.
So many
Waluigi,
cool ones.
There's like...
Isn't there SpongeBob and Patrick?
SpongeBob and Patrick. Yeah, it's...
Is that canon for Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. It's gotten out of hand.
They're actually in the same universe.
okay, so... Let's see. Dreaded Diablo asks, do you think Nintendo will release a Metroid Prime trilogy like the Wii version on the Switch to get us ready for Metroid Prime 4?
Hmm. Yes.
Probably a smart idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope they do. I think it is smart. I mean, they released Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 again on the Switch in anticipation for Bayonetta 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
we've said this on the show before. We can't imagine Prime 4 being ready this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be a nice surprise, but that just doesn't make that. That's so... No, I don't think it's going to happen. So I think Trilogy would be wonderful to tide us over.
You think we'll see Prime 4 at E3, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trailer.
Mm. Something.
I don't...
More than a logo.
Yeah. Be nice if it was playable. I have a feeling it'll be trailer.
I think if Nintendo has like a one more thing type of moment, it'll be like gameplay trailer for Prime 4.
Remember, they keep on saying they focus on 2018, and so... We'll see.
Yeah.
This was clearly a little bit farther out.
Yeah. So Spicona asks, what do you think Animal Crossing's chances are being shown off this year for Switch? So
chances, I don't know.
Give us a percentage.
I'll give you my percentage.
7%.
Oh, wow. I was going to aim higher. I was going to say like 15%.
I think it's probably around there, right? Like, it doesn't seem very likely. I want it to happen.
Yeah,
but
same.
Especially with what Pear just
they
said.
They just
about
came
it
out with an Animal Crossing.
A while back, I would have said it's a no-brainer that they'll announce it for this year, and this would be one of their bigger Christmas games because of the mobile game and it marketing the brand again. But now it's been so quiet. I'm going to put it as like a 25% chance that we'll see something. They will be one. There's no question about it. Like, there's no longer an excuse that this is a console. You can take it with you. There will be Animal Crossing.
And this is total speculation. I have nothing to base this on, but maybe they're going to use Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee's tie-in with Pokemon Go and be like, all right, how did that do? How did people respond to this?
Maybe.
And then maybe they're going to look to try to do a similar thing with Animal Crossing in the mobile game.
Yep.
I don't think there's any reason to believe that that is what they are doing, mm-hmm. but like it's something that would make sense, I guess.
It's the only mobile game, though, that's not going to have an analog out, right? Like Fire Emblem, we're getting a Fire Emblem game on Switch. It's weird that there's no Animal Crossing.
Yeah. It is very strange, but if these leaks are true, I would have expected to see Animal Crossing at some point already, and since we haven't seen it, that's why I'm putting my percentage for so low.
What was it, 13%?
7%.
7%, okay. Very nice.
There have been some pretty obviously fake leaks pointing towards an Animal Crossing release on Switch, but I honestly don't think we'll get it this year. It's a little sad. Okay, so let's move on to our next question. Jonders FPT asks, is there a chance that Pokemon 2019 is a Diamond and Pearl remake? Casey, I think
there is absolutely zero chance because they've already confirmed that it is a brand new game in a new region with new Pokemon.
Okay.
They've already said that.
They've
new
already
Pokemon,
confirmed.
So not a remake.
Yes.
That answers that question.
Yep. I'm getting word from our producer here that we actually have a picture that we're going to share with the audience real quick. Go ahead and throw that up there, Andres.
Aww. Oh, Lily.
There we go.
Walla Lily?
Walla Lily.
Walla Lily.
Very beautiful. Man.
Yes. I hope you're wearing that for the entirety of E3, Lily.
I think that's her plan.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to will that character into Smash.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're getting close to the end here, but there's like two or three more questions I want to get to. By the way, over 100 of you guys out there sent us questions on Twitter, so thank you very much for doing that. But I'm going to try and get to a couple more of them. PatrickStar17 asks, if a 2D Mario was announced, what art style would you like to see it be?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
2D Mario was announced. What art style would you like it to be? I thought the new Super Mario Brothers art style was super boring. Mm-hmm. Like I never loved it. I love that one Van Gogh world that they did. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and
that
I was like,
was
man,
great.
How cool would it be if the art style changed, that you're actually going through like a Picasso, a Matisse, like do like a crazy version of Mario where the characters and the worlds look different based on like painter's styles. I would love to see an art style like that because, you know, Paper Mario played with the Mario franchise already, gave us something original. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
That would be really cool.
Right?
I want that. Good job. Good job on that.
Thanks.
That's fair.
That's it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to see a 2D Mario styled like Octopath Traveler, where it's a pop-up book. Mm-hmm. But I don't want it to be like a 2D Mario platformer. I want that to be Paper Mario.
Hmm. Yeah, that
would be really cool.
That's similar to what I was going to say, is the paper. I think it was Paper Mario for Wii, where it would go between 2D and 3D.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one of my favorite art styles of any of the Paper Mario games. I'd love to see something like that. I'd also just, my main hope, if there is a 2D platforming Mario, is that it is not yarn or clay themed.
Burned out a little bit.
Yeah, no offense to those. Yeah. Like, because I really liked Kirby's Epic Yarn. Yeah. I liked that art style. I liked the Yoshi art style.
Well,
but then they started making the Yoshi yarn one, and they started, like, they're starting to just use that art style everywhere. And
there's
like,
no material left, though. Metal. Have we had, metal. Metal Mario. His own game, finally.
Exactly.
What if
they
go the route of, like, Pokemon and make them toys?
I'd probably be okay with
that's
that.
That's like March of the Minis, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Similar.
Of, like, little wind-up toys, yeah.
Yeah, I just hope they use that art style more sparingly.
Yep. No, I get.
Hopefully. So Greek Hylian asks, do you think Retro Studios' Star Fox game is real, and will it be at E3? I believe it will be a crossover between Star Fox and F-Zero.
That was the rumor, right? Was that it was a Star Fox racing game from Retro?
I think he's talking about Grand Prix,
Less, I mean, it is a racing game in that you're trying to beat people's times, but it's still shooting based. Like, you would shoot things, and depending on the combos, you'd get speed boosts.
Right.
Right. So it's that kind of game where you have a competitive factor, not on the top score, but actually the top time for completing a course. I think it's real. Like, I felt like the, you know, the rumors popped out from so many different directions. It could be completely made up, and it's just like one of those rumors that goes from person to person and it becomes real.
Yeah.
It would make sense to me. Like, it is the time for a Star Fox game, and I was expecting a Star Fox game to be at E3 in some fashion. So I think it's real. I want to believe.
Well, Miyamoto last year reminded everybody that both Pikmin and Star Fox are alive and well,
mm-hmm.
and they are definitely planning something with them. So maybe we'll hear something about them at E3.
Be more excited for a Pikmin game.
Dude, I would lose my mind.
I love those games. You think it's real too, right?
I do think it's real. Yeah. I think if it's not real, it's gotten enough attention and praise that maybe it will be.
It will be made now, that's right. Yeah. It's like Dinosaur Planet where we all said it looks like Star Fox and they're like, fine.
It's Star Fox now.
Now it's Star Fox Adventures.
All right, well, I guess that's our show this week. Thank you guys very much for tuning in, watching, listening. We are a weekly show on IGN.com and you can catch us early on IGN.com every Thursday around 3 p.m. whenever we're live. It's at 3 p.m. Pacific. We're not live right now. So you can probably catch us around 5 or 6 o'clock is when we're aiming to get this episode up. Otherwise, you can catch us on YouTube.com/Nintendo Voice Chat every Friday. So make sure you look at that. Also, we are available on all of your favorite podcast listening services as well. So thank you all very much for joining me this week. It's a very exciting time right now as we head into E3. It's going to be crazy.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I can't. Like,
me too.
E3 is a beautiful time. And there'll be so many. Like, I own every console, so there will be something that's going to get me really excited. But I'm really rooting for Nintendo here to show some great stuff with Smash Brothers. And every Smash Brothers character reveal trailer has been golden so far. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine what we'll see.
Yep. It's going to be a great week. All right. We will see you guys real soon.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.